This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi. I'm the Turf Extension Specialist here at Cornell University. And this is the Shortcut Podcast brought to you in partnership between Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program and our friends at the New York State Turfgrass Association. For the week of November 2nd, 2015, this is Volume 16, Issue 30. Professional turfgrass and landscape management must have a strong foundation in science. Stewardship of urban, suburban, and rural landscapes requires responsibility to the functional benefits these landscapes provide beyond the aesthetic and recreational value. That is, ecosystem services such as water quality protection, temperature moderation, and stormwater management. There are two areas of turf management where science has evolved to indicate we need to change our behavior practices to continue to meet client demands while being stewards of the environment, such as BMPs, which is science-based management. First is late-season nitrogen fertilization for native soil, not sand-based turf systems. For most of my professional academic turf career, late fall, late-season dormant fertilization was provided typically around mid-late November when average daily temps were below 50 degrees Fahrenheit for three or more days so that most top growth was assuredly ceased. Roots would take up nitrogen and spring green up and growth was adequate. Several years ago, a few research projects indicated early applications between September 15th or October 15th of lower rates of N fertilizer, especially soluble N, provide the same spring quality when compared to traditional late applications with reduced risk of nitrogen leaching. Regulations enacted in the last few years have forced our hand on this issue, so hopefully behaviors and practices are changing. And more discussion of N-fertilization is coming this week with Professor Carl Guillard from the University of Connecticut. Second is mulching tree leaves into lawns. In the last decade, several studies have found and confirmed that the practice of mulching different types of deciduous tree leaves into turf does not reduce turf quality, does not significantly alter soil nutrient levels, does not increase fertilizer needs, and seems to suppress dandelions. All this said, changing this behavior, unlike late-season fertilization, seems harder to achieve due to political agendas, rigid waste management programs, and lack of equipment and logistical resources needed to meet client expectations. Notes about the weather. A rare, quote, normal temperature week across the region, with the north being 2 below normal and south 2 above. Soils are in the upper 30s to the far north and upper 50s central to the 40s in the central and low 50s along the coast and south of New York City. The many weeks above normal, 65% of our 32 to 36 week growing season, is keeping soils warmer later. Widespread 1 to 2 inch rain events blanketed the region, except for central New York that got less than 1 inch. ET was about a half inch to the south of New York City and about quarter inch to the north. The recent rains continue to help dry areas recover, as evidenced by continued reduction in areas under drought stress or moisture deficit conditions. And the forecast for the coming week, following another third cool and damp weekend, expect another warm-up, this time into the upper 60s to upper 70s, a full 10 degrees above normal. Some rainfall to move through with very moist air making its way into the region. And expect a warming trend into the 8 to 14 day outlook. Regional clips start with the Iron Man, Professor Randy Prostack at the University of Massachusetts. Warm weather this week should be ideal for late season perennial broadleaf weed control. Don't miss the chance to get them all. Nick Menchek, professor at SUNY Farmingdale. Damage from last winter is still evident on putting greens that seeded bentgrass. Courses that sodded fared much better and more complete recovery. Jerry Giordano reports that leaf mulching questions, this time concerning diseased leaves and impact on tree leaves. There's little evidence to support removing these leaves. And finally, a note from Walt Nelson at Monroe County. Sports turf still performing well. Managers readying for the offseason will take advantage of warmer weather for some final touches. A conversation about improving nitrogen management with UConn Professor Carl Guillard. Subjective guessing to objective measurement. Nitrogen management, one of the most central turfgrass maintenance practices, remains an art as much as a science. Due to the dynamic nature of nitrogen in the soil, that is, the changing forms and amounts available to the plant, there have been no reliable objective testing measures that allow for increased precision. As a result, the subjective guessing of when and how much N to apply remains the norm. This is not to say that professional turf grass managers can't develop more precise nitrogen management. Rather, that there is not a value that can be generated to determine when and how much N is required, unlike what would occur if a soil test indicated potassium levels were below 50 pounds per acre. Increasing precision through objective measurement has been the focus of the nutrient research at UConn for more than a decade. There were some successes using anion exchange membranes, reflectance correlations using spectrophotometric measures, as well as tissue and soil testing. However, adoption of any of these strategies has been limited by the technology and from industry reluctance. There are traditional approaches to nitrogen fertilization of turf that seem resistant to change due to the overall structure and logistics of the lawn care and grounds turf industry. Still, recent attempts using soil health measures and potentially mineralizable N have continued to provide insight into the complexity of managing a nutrient that changes availability rapidly in time and amount. Nitrogen use efficiency and turf grass species. In addition to the dynamic nature of nitrogen in soils and the variety of situations where turf is grown, the turf grass we grow continues to be regarded as central to becoming more precise and sustainable with nitrogen management programs. Studies dating back to the 1980s indicated turf grass species and varieties have a wide range of nitrogen use efficiencies, that is, the amount of nitrogen required to increase growth and quality. Research by the late SUNY professor, Professor Zhi Zhang from Rhode Island, found that Kentucky bluegrass varieties such as Blacksburg, Connie, Dawn, Eclipse convert nitrogen more efficiently to top and root growth. In recent UConn research, tall fescue as a species had higher nitrogen use efficiency than Kentucky bluegrass. This was determined to be primarily related to increased rooting of tall fescue that absorbs greater volumes of soil nitrogen N. And finally, a note about sustainable turf nutrition and help you can provide. Turf grass nutrient management often requires regular soil chemical testing, especially for pH, phosphorus levels, and cations such as potassium, magnesium, and calcium. Regardless of the lab used to determine soil nutrient levels and the extracted method used, the soil tests require interpretation to determine if supplemental nutrition is required. These interpretations have changed dramatically in the last decade, and more research is needed to further refine nutrient requirements for maximum quality and performance. Please consider taking part in the Global Soil Survey to enhance the turf industry's ability to develop a more sustainable approach to nutrient requirements. You can access this exciting opportunity to help develop sustainable nutritional guidelines at www.paceturf.org/journal/Global Soil Survey. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turf Grass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turf grass information. I'm Frank Rossi. I'm the Turf Extension Specialist here at Cornell University. I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.